and I realized the need for me to record his and my mother's biographies. This work initially began as a memoir, but as I progressed in my research, I was stymied by the paucity of information in my quest for detailed facts. Many of my parents' contemporaries were either already deceased or were failing in their memories. Ultimately, I realized that I could convey the exact spirit of their story with a biographical novel. Even if I fictionalized the details of specific events and dialogues, I could with integrity tell their story, as long as I adhered to two fundamentals of a biographical novel. One, that I strive to portray the characters with fidelity. None of their behaviors and conversations in my writing are exaggerations beyond what they might have actually done or said. And two, that the historical backdrop of their experiences must remain factually accurate. The story is told in two distinct chronological segments. Part one is told in third person from my father's perspective. Beginning in part two, I shift to narrating in first person as I had come into being at that point, in 1951. Here begins the odyssey of two people who, whether with deliberate intent or unconsciously out of instinct, fulfilled a shared vision of caring for future generations more than they thought of themselves. Part 1. The same boiling water that softens the potato hardens the egg. It's about what you're made of, not the circumstances. Author unknown. Little Pebbles. The two little boys sat idly at the edge of a large pond that had been left by a recent monsoon. The schoolmaster had fallen ill that afternoon and sent all the children home early. But Sui Fong and his buddy Sun Ga knew they each would be punished for playing hooky if they returned to their homes too early. "Should we go yet?" Sun Ga was impatient. Sui Fong cautioned, "It's still half an hour before school would have let out. Even then, we must walk slowly since we're already about halfway home." So the two continued tossing pebbles into the pond to see who could toss them the highest and still get closest to the center. "Look, the higher I toss it, the bigger the rings. Even with a small pebble," observed Sui Fong. Thus, it became a contest of making the biggest ripples with the smallest pebbles. "You remember what the teacher talked about this morning? I want to go there when I grow up," declared Sui Fong. "Do you think it's really true there's a mountain made of actual gold?" "Yes, of course. He's a teacher and he knows everything. You saw it on the map. Gumsan, Golden Mountain. It's way across the ocean." Sui Fong waved an arm aimlessly into the distance. "People there are very rich. They can eat chicken drumsticks every day." Eventually, the sun sank halfway toward the hills. The two boys sauntered back in a serpentine path to their respective homes on the village's main dirt road, which had been turned into an obstacle course by the rain-filled ruts left by the wooden carts the farmers used to drag their produce to market. Sun Ga's father was a civil servant, and the family lived in a spacious, comfortable house on the hillside of Ki Hing Li Village in the Toisan district of the Canton province. Sui Fong had been there once to play with Sun Ga, and he was impressed with the abundance of toys and the huge play area in the large home's courtyard. But after that, they were able to play together only at school. Sun Ga's parents did not want their son associating with an orphan farm boy. Sui Fong lived with his mother in a small earthen brick house at the base of the hill. He never knew his father, and was never told much about him except that he had descended from the old and proud Ji clan. It was about the right time when Sui Fong got home from school, but he received a scolding anyway, not for leaving school early, but for not gathering enough pig dung the day before. His mother was severe. "How are we going to have enough to eat if you don't bring in enough fertilizer? You will starve us to death." He was too young to remember much of the last famine, but he did remember going hungry for long periods years back. Having nothing to do with the lack of pig dung, it was one of those many times when torrential floods had washed away entire rice crops. He surely did not want to be the one responsible for bringing starvation upon his mother and himself again, and he was glad to get out of hearing range as soon as he went out.